The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
Now, before I get into the message here today, and you can open your Bibles to Psalm 94 because I'm going to be using that chapter for my text today. I want to just say on Monday night, we dealt with Ezekiel 37, which is about the Valley of Dry Bones. And the Lord just began to speak to me to prophesy over each state, prophesy over America and nations. The bones will live again. And major things have happened this past week, and major things will happen this next week. This is going to be a supernatural week of things opening up. And it's the American people, by the anointing of God, that are being raised up to open up everything at this time. Now, let me just say something before I read this. It was impossible for the president to just open up America because his enemies would then say, and of course they would exacerbate everything and cause even more deaths to take place and then blame it on him, number one. So he put it on the governors. Then it's impossible for the governors just to open up everything because they don't want to take the blame for their state. So governors have had to be cautious on what they were going to do. The real onus to open America is not on the president or on the governors. It's actually on the American people. So the American people draw a line in the sand and say, we're done now, and we're going back to work. And that's happening all over Florida. That's happening all across America. God's going to give us one more opportunity. The end is not yet. God is definitely sifting his people, separating the wheat from the tares, the profane from what's holy, the fake from what is real. And God is definitely purifying his bride, and he's going to have a glorious church, and there's going to be a church without spot or blemish, but it's not going to be a church hiding somewhere in the shadows waiting for Jesus to come and rescue them. It's going to be a church occupying till he comes, and that's your job. Every one of you are occupiers. We are the restraining force in the earth today, and God's going to use every single one of you to do something, and that's your assignment. So, we prophesied it over these bones. Can these bones live again? You might be watching from a foreign field and you say, can my country live again? Yes, God's not finished with England. On Friday, I did a one-hour broadcast across the nation of Portugal. I told Portugal, your time is not here. God is not finished with Portugal. This next week, I'm doing 1 hour across Brazil, live across Brazil. So all of these countries, the hand of God is upon them, and the church of Jesus Christ is in each of these nations, and God is raising up his church, the same for South Africa. So I know it looks bleaker in some of the other places, but let me tell you, the hand of God will sustain his church, and they shall rise up in the anointing. So let's go to Psalm 94, if you would please. So powerful. Get ready. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked, triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things? And all the workers of iniquity boast themselves. They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it, which you see all of this taking place right now. It's almost in many places, they're actually mocking. They are mocking the church. They're mocking the body of Christ. Where is your God? Your God can't heal. That's why you can't meet. Because if you met, everybody would die of the coronavirus. That's not true. Our God is a living God, and he's a healing God, and he's a saving God, and he delivers his people. So, understand ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall he not correct? He that teaches man knowledge, shall he not know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. But thou, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity. I believe that is taking place and shall take place even in the next number of months. Until the pit be dug for the wicked. There is a pit that is being dug for the wicked, even in this hour. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? So God is speaking here. Who will rise up? Somebody has to be counted. Somebody has to stand in the gap. We can't sit in our rooms anymore and just sit and lick our wounds. It's time for the body of Christ to stand up and draw a line in the sand and say, enough is enough. We're not tolerating this. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? So for everyone that says God is in control, he is. But God comes and anoints men and women. And he rises them up in this hour, raises them up in this hour to do his purpose and his plan. I'm not doing what I want to do. I didn't choose this path for me. I didn't say, oh, why don't you go against the stream? Why don't you swim upstream against the tide? I'm not trying to be a contrarian. I'm not trying to be difficult. I just read the Bible. And I receive the Holy Ghost and fire. And it stirs on the inside of me, and I cannot be quiet. I cannot just sit by and watch these things happen. I have to do something. Something has to be done. There are giants in the land. There are giants in the nations of the earth, and they look like Goliath. But it's going to take the Davids in this hour to rise up by the anointing and the Spirit and to possess the land. And with the five smooth stones, you can do that. What does he say here in Psalm 94? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. But I feel that stirring. I feel that stirring even the night when we lie on our bed, even as God speaks to us in dreams. Even in the morning time when I wake up, I feel that stirring. Throughout the day, I feel that stirring in my spirit. And it's like the Lord saying, Rodney, you can't be quiet. You have to stand up. I see in other countries, in other places, I find myself weeping over these nations, weeping over these nations. When I said, my foot slippeth, the mercy, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. Hallelujah. I love this. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and they shall be cut off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. I tell you what, whoo, I could get up and run around this table, this desk, three times right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord the biggest shout of praise. I want you to meditate on Psalm 94 this week. Read it again. Speak it out. God is moving in behalf of his people. We have prayed. We have cried out. We've said, oh, Lord, and God is moving on our behalf. And the plague shall be stayed from off the land. Listen, let me tell you. I go back to the vision that the Lord gave me. It's like 6 weeks ago now. I can't even remember where. Sometime in March. And I got home. Many of you have heard the story. If you have not heard the full story of the open vision that God gave me, it's the first one I ever had in my life. And it shook me to the core. You've got to go to watch on the YouTube channel, End of Days, Part 2. End of Days Part 2. It's edited down. I think it's 45 minutes. It's just the message of the vision. And you can find it on our YouTube channel, Rodney Brown YouTube, End of Days Part 2. And I share the whole vision. I got it. I'll just quickly recap for those that are just tuning in for the first time. And I got into bed. It was just after 2 o'clock in the morning. And Evangelist Tim Hall was trying to get a hold of me. He didn't know I was on a platform somewhere. And I texted him. I said, I'll call you later. So I got into bed. I was very tired. I was about to doze off. Many nights, Adonic had pulled the phone out of my hand and plugged it in. But I felt, okay, I better call Tim because on a different time zone, they're in the next, well, it was the next day already. I was like just after 2 in the morning, and he was already in the afternoon, 17 hours ahead. And I called him, and I said, hey, Brother Tim, how's it going? He said, well, it doesn't look too good yet. He said, the stores are emptying. He said, it looks like the end of days. And I have a four-poster bed. Around the bed came... which I thought I was dreaming. I promise you, I thought this can't be happening. I'm dreaming. This is not, because I've heard of people having an open vision. Now, the Lord speaks to me and I see things in my spirit. So I see just like they see, except I don't see it in front of me. I see it all on the inside and I know it. I not only see, but I know. I know what's going to happen. I know what's going to take place in the services. I know exactly. That's why many times when I preach, I deal with stuff that's out there, and these are really the thoughts that are coming on Facebook and YouTube, the thoughts that people are thinking. I can't see that, but I actually dismantle those thoughts preaching the gospel because these are vain imaginations, and they're every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, bring into captivity every thought, and you do that because of the word of God that does that. So I start preaching and dealing with certain things. These are the things that people are thinking, except we can't see their thoughts. On our live streams now, you can suddenly see the thoughts as people are coming, pass by, coming, and you actually see the thoughts that you actually deal with in the services. So I see things in my spirit, and I know things in my spirit. I know this is going to happen. This will happen today. I knew about the arrest. I knew when it was going to happen, and I knew there'd be helicopters over my house in 1 hour. I knew everything. I had a total peace when I drove in the car, a total peace. My heart didn't even go up. I just knew I had to walk through this door, and that God wanted me to walk through this door because I was making a statement. I was making a statement as a man of God that we will not bow to tyranny. Anyway, that's another story. So, but had it not been for this open vision, I would not have had the directive from the Lord on what was going to take place. So anyway, around the corner of the bed came this whirlwind, a tornado of fire. But it was perfect. It was not like it was out of place. You could see the tornado. You could see the flames of fire. It was not big. It was about 12 inches big. It came around, and it came and stopped right in front of my stomach. And as it stopped in front of my stomach, I was shaking and weeping. And I thought, I kept looking. I could see Adonica the other side of the room, and I could see my phone in my left hand. And I could hear Tim on the phone, and now this fire is right in front of me. So the fire comes right in front of me, and then the bottom part of it licked into my belly, and out of my belly, a river began to flow in divers kind of tongues, deep tongues. If you heard it, you would hear it was a deep river of language that flowed out. And then English began to come, and I heard the Lord say, "The end is not yet. The end is not yet." He said, I'm sifting my people. I'm separating the wheat from the tares. I'm separating the profane from what is holy and the false from what is true. And he said, I'm getting my church ready and I'm purifying my bride. And he said, I'm going to have a purified bride. I'm not going to have a weak church. I'm going to have a glorious church. And then what overwhelmed me was how much he loved his church. He told me how much he loved his church. And church, I want you to know how much he loves you today. That shocked me. I knew he loved his church, but he loves his church. It is over the top. It's beyond anything you can ever imagine. I have never felt so much love for the church as I felt at that moment. And he overemphasized over me, I love my church. I love my bride, and they are not ready, but I will get them ready, for I am coming soon. But I'm not coming back for a weak church. I'm coming back for a glorious church. I'm not coming to rescue them because they can't handle it anymore. He'll take us away because the world can't handle us anymore, because he loves us. And then I saw the earth. It wasn't a full earth. It was just like a third of it. And I saw like a gauze over it, which I knew was the plague. And I saw a hand come, and the hand moved it off. And the Lord said, I, the Lord your God, shall do this work. And he said, I was shaking, man. And he said, he said, I care not who's in the White House and who's in this agency and that agency. I'll do this work. And that was a piece that hit me that's carried me all these weeks. Tomorrow will be 5 weeks that I've never left my property. Not because I can't, but I have focused only on one thing: dealing with pastors, dealing with churches, and dealing with nations, and broadcasting every night. And I don't really have time to run all over the place. And I know some of my friends went out and played golf. I haven't played golf. Somebody said, you need to play golf. I'd like to, but right now I'm on a mission and I have to mobilize. That day will come, you know, but I'm not too bothered about any of those things. I have to stay focused on this mandate that God has given me. I have phone calls Monday. I have phone calls Tuesday. I have stuff stacked up like planes on a runway. And so we are working behind the scenes, not just with the river, not just with the Hillsborough County, not just with the state of Florida, but across America and other states as well, and other nations. We're dealing with other nations, and there are perplexing problems, but there's a way through for each of those nations. All that has to happen is for the body of Christ to stand up. The government is on the shoulders of Jesus and on the church, not on wicked people in power that take money under the table and that pass orders and then pretend that they are law. That it is not law. It is not law. It is not law. The Constitution is law. It's time for everybody to stand up and be counted. So that's what carried me. That's what's carried me all these weeks. And that's what's going to carry us through the month of May as we now move to open the church with actual services in place. And I have a major problem, ladies and gentlemen, because we have so many people that have joined the church. And I never thought that I'd ever say that we could get it open and not tell anybody. You know, it's like when Jesus healed the leper and said, now don't tell anybody you got healed. So if we even just breathe that we're opening, I got people want to fly from Houston. I got people want to fly from all across America, you know, and I'm concerned where they're going to stay. I'm concerned about the food and all this stuff. So I've got to try to get the restaurants open and the hotels open so we can open up and do what we need to do. We have our conference coming up here in the end of May. And but we will announce to you when we're going to be in-house. And probably that day, I was going to do it. Listen, let me tell you, I was going to do it only for River members. But, you know, I thought about it. I thought about, let's just blow it out. Let's just open this thing. When we open this thing, let's just open it. And obviously our auditorium is going to be packed. All the overflow room is going to be packed. And here's what we'll do. The whole area right behind where the sound desk is, we will spread chairs out through the whole thing. I'll put all portlets around the thing, put umbrellas up, and we'll make it so we can have whoever comes will be taken care of. And so we will let you know when we open. Somebody said they went to church this morning. I'm glad you went to church. He said they were open. That's good. All the church, there are many churches in Florida that's open. People just don't know it. People think that we live in a communist state. No, we have some communist areas, certain towns, certain cities. But Florida is open because we have a governor that 3 days after my arrest and release opened the state and made church an essential service. So it's a dirty job, but somebody has to do it and somebody has to pay the price. And I had to walk through the door. I have talked dozens of people out of getting arrested. I had so many people around America, I'm going to get arrested. I said, no, you're not going to be arrested. God's given me the strategy of what to do to open up the cities. And so we can help every single one of you do exactly that. So it's time for the church to rise up. It's time for the body of Christ to rise up. It's time to get your businesses back functioning. It's time. Let me tell you right now, it is wrong for Walmart to open with goods made in China and mom-and-pop manufacturing companies are sidelined. It is wrong. That is tyranny. That is wickedness. And I want to say, a lady's commenting said, Houston's closed. We have churches in Houston that are meeting right now. We have churches in Houston that have not closed their doors. They've been meeting all along. So that's wrong. There are churches all over Texas that are meeting. I know for a fact because I talked to the pastors. So this is imperative that you understand these things. It's time to get back to work. It's time to get back to your church. It's time to rise up. It's just time to see the businesses open. It is now time. We cannot let this thing go on ad infinitum. I mean, some of these crazy people, they want to keep these lockdowns going till the end of the year. It is not going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. The American people are opening up America by the anointing of the Spirit of God. And I pray even today that the anointing comes upon you in a greater way. I pray a holy boldness come upon you. Father, I'm not asking them to do what I do, but I'm asking every single person that is watching right now to ask you and ask you alone, what do you want me to do? Let them do nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. And Father, we thank you for it, and we see a holy boldness coming upon your people. We see by the anointing. It's the anointing that destroys every single yoke. The anointing destroys every single yoke. The anointing destroys every single yoke. And the devil cannot have America. He cannot have the UK. He cannot have Europe. He cannot have Africa. He cannot have South Africa. He cannot have the islands of the sea. He cannot have Australia and New Zealand. He cannot have Asia. The kingdoms of this earth will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. Thank you for the churches that are meeting, even today in Long Island, as they are having meetings today in Long Island, and even in other places, as today was Back to Church Sunday, as people are being mobilized to worship you in spirit and in truth. Bless every pastor that's opened the doors today. But Lord, give them divine strategy as to remove the draconian measures that have been instituted by local governments that have been bought out. Father, in the name of Jesus, we see one more opportunity for America. And Lord, as America goes, so goes the world. As America opens, the rest of the world will open as well, for they're watching America. I pray that you would touch the president even this hour. Remove those around him that speak with forked tongue. Expose every person that has another agenda that's around our president. Let them fall in the ditch that they're digging, even themselves now. Let them be exposed. Let the plan of the enemy be set back. Let the plan of the wicked be set back. Pull the wheels off of Pharaoh's chariots. Wreak total havoc in the camp of the enemy. If they dig a ditch for your people, let them fall in it themselves. Let them turn on each other like a dog on its own tail. Even now, every wicked plan against the righteous, Father, the moment they want to focus on the righteous, wear them out. Wear them out that they won't be able to sleep by day or by night until they take their hands off of the righteous. For the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Lord, you are on our side, and your word declares that he who sits in the heavens shall laugh, shall laugh. Shall laugh. And he will have the enemy in derision. So even now, rulers, leaders around the world that plan wickedness, even now, in total confusion. Father, we thank you for it. And we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. For we prayed many, many months, many years, many hours that we've cried out. For your word declares, if my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, you said, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. And we've done just that. Father, we thank you that you have heard from heaven. You've heard from heaven. And now I pray a special anointing upon every person in this service today and those watching the rerun. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost come upon your house, upon your husband, your wife, your children, your grandchildren. Let the anointing of heaven come into your living room. Father, I thank you. Even tonight when they lay their head upon their bed, you give them divine strategy. Give them step by step by step exactly what you want them to do. And I thank you for it. And I give you praise. Thank you for the River Church. Thank you for all of its members. And Lord, thank you that the opening shall be soon. Give our sheriff wisdom even now as he walks us through this maze. For Lord, in essence, he shut us down, but he'll open us up. And we thank you for it. Thank you that we could work with our sheriff. We didn't need to be adversarial even from day one. And thank you that we can bring healing to the city of Tampa and see Tampa shaken. Let our city be an example to the rest of the nation. We pray this now. I pray a blessing upon each and every person today. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Just lift your hands and thank him right now. I feel the anointing so strong here right now. Just thank him. Just thank him. Just thank him right now. Just give him praise. Give him honor. Give him glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Peace. I speak peace. I speak blessing. Thank you, Lord. Now we're going to give the altar call for all those that don't know Jesus or you're not walking with him. We're going to give the altar call, and I'll be right back, right off the altar call, and then we're going to do communion together, and we're going to pray and close out the broadcast. So let's go to the altar call. I want everybody to bow your heads, if you would, please. Everything begins with the heart. And I'm going to ask only the workers to move, please, at this time. Everything begins with the heart. I want you to look into your heart today, and those watching in your homes, wherever you might be. If you've never surrendered your life to the Lord, you've never said, Jesus, come be my Lord and Savior, then I want to give you an opportunity right now to receive. To receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to make him Lord of your life. There's many in the church world, Sunday morning, that's the time they give God, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday is the time they give everything else. But when you make him Lord of your life and you give him every area, everything changes. In your rising up, you're lying down, you're coming in, you're going out, everything changes. And God begins to lead you and guide you. Your Mondays, your Tuesdays, your Wednesdays, your Thursdays, your Fridays, your Saturdays, they'll be supernatural. Your life will not be compartmentalized. Well, that's church and this is life. No, it'll all mesh together. It'll all flow together. It's about surrender to give him every area of our life. Our life is not our own. I actually cannot just do whatever I want to do. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? You can do whatever you want. I can't. Because I prayed a long time ago and said, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll be what you want me to be. So if I prayed that way, then how in the world can I do whatever I want to do? I can't. I cannot. When Adonik and I were married 38 years ago and we made a decision, God's will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Revival, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. There's no option. There's no option. Somebody said, well, you could just make a decision. I could, but I know the consequences involved are horrendous. Why? I'm not that stupid that I'm going to make a decision that's going to just go change everything. Somebody said, yeah, but what if I've already made a mistake? Then today you can repent and say, God, I'm turning around, and from this day, my whole life's going to be different. From this day. From this day. History's not going to keep repeating itself. From this day, I'm cutting off the past. This pattern that just keeps coming around, back, always around, from failure to failure. God's going to take you from glory unto glory. It's about surrender. And if you're in this room here today, you're watching in your homes, and you've never given your life to Jesus, you never said, Jesus, come be my Lord and Savior, but today you want to do that. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Maybe you're here today, and you have never prayed that prayer. What would happen if you went home, put your head on your pillow, and tonight you breathed out your last breath? Where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? Today is your day to surrender and say, Lord, I surrender and give my life to you. Would you do that today? Would you say, Lord, come and be my Savior? Jesus, take full control. Secondly, maybe you've come to this place and you gave your life to the Lord, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. There was a time when you were radically on fire for God, but you allowed the things of the world to come in. You lost your peace, your first love, your joy. But today he wants to come and restore that to you. He wants to bring back to you the joy of your salvation. Will you let him do that? Maybe it's something hidden that no one could see. Pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, the hidden things that clog the heart of man. But today you say, I want free. I want to be free. I'm coming out of this. I'm coming out of this by the grace of God and by the mercy of God. If you mean business with God, God means business with you. Maybe it's not hidden. Maybe it's something outward that everyone can see. And the enemy uses it against you to keep you in a place of guilt and condemnation. You feel like, well, what's the use anyway? They already know. I'm a big mess anyway. Well, listen, God can take your life and transform it that the next 3 years, you won't even be recognizable. The change takes place from within, and then it manifests without. It's about surrender to say, Lord, yes. God's a God of a second chance and a new beginning. Today he will do that if you let him. Maybe it's not hidden or outward as we described. Maybe it's a storm that came against your life. You were going along. You were doing great. And then out of the blue, this thing hit you like a Mack truck from hell. Things that happened in your life that 10 years ago you would never have even considered, but it took place. A sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world. But today you say, I'm coming back. I'm going to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Would you let him do it today? Would you say, Jesus, come? And then lastly, if you're in this place and you love the Lord, but you're not sure of your salvation, the devil's always lying to you, telling you that you're not saved. But today you say, I want to make sure. I want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm a child of God. If this is you, right where you are, if you fit into any one of these categories, I will pray with you and for you. Quickly, put your hand up. Say, pray for me right now. God bless you over there. Raise up high. God bless you over here. Under the overhang, God bless you. Hands are going up. Back over there. Hand over here. Hand over there. Hand over here. Come on. Slip your hand up right now on this side. Hands are going up. Come on, today's your day. Today's your day of freedom. Under the overhang on this side, today's your day. I want everybody with your hand in the air, I want everybody to look at me, please. If you did not raise your hand, but you want to be included in the prayer we're going to pray right now, quickly put your hand up with the rest of them. I want all those with your hand in the air to stand now. Stand to your feet. Stand. Stand across the building. Stand. Stand. Stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet. Today is your day of freedom. I'm going to ask you to do something. If you'll come from where you are and come stand around the altar, we're going to pray. One little guy made it down here all by himself already. Come. 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 Just come right now. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of freedom and liberty. Come. He calls you. He calls you. He calls you. Come. He calls you. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me. Behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. You can take the whole world. Jesus, you can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. No turning back. Tell you, you better get ready for this, what's about to happen in the new year. Man, this thing's big. 2020. Lord have mercy. Hallelujah. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Good to see you guys. Amen. Praying for you. Praying for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want everybody standing here to look at me. We're going to pray one prayer. One prayer fits all. If you mean business with God, God means business with you. Whether this is your first time or you come to recommit your life or you come to make sure, I want you to close your eyes and raise your right hand to heaven and pray this together with me. Say this with your mouth. Believe it in your heart. Say this out loud. Say, Father, I come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead. I will be saved. So, Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in the heart of flesh. Wash me. Cleanse me. Change me. Fill me. Use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. And I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I'll never be the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith in the finished work of the cross and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. Now just lift both hands right now. Father, I pray that you would seal them now by your blood and by your Spirit, that on that day not one would be missing. Raise them up to be mighty men and women of God and use them for your kingdom and for the remainder of their days. And I pray this even now. I break every curse. I send it back to where it came from. I break every bondage, every hindrance, every addiction that's held them back is broken now by the power of the blood of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Gracias. Gracias. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.